ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading this morning, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Texts 27 and 28. Narada is speaking still to Vyasadeva. We're getting a sequence of the unfolding of bhakti, the stages of bhakti, from Adaushradha Tatak Sadhu Sangha, the Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nirriti Syat, then from Anartha Nirriti to Nishta, and from Nishta to Ruchi. Like, he's on the fast track, this little boy. So now we're going to hear Asakti, from taste to attachment. And a little different, not too much different, but a little different than what we hear in the second chapter of this first canto, is the removal of ignorance, or passion and ignorance, in these two verses. Tato rajas tamo bhava kama lobha dayasya cheta etair anadvitam stitvam satve prasidati, described in chapter 2. By the process of hearing and chanting, the influence of the modes of nature is withdrawn, diminished, then withdrawn. So that's topic. Text 27, the translation is, O great sage, as soon as I got a taste of the personality of Godhead, I think it should be for the personality of Godhead, my attention to hear the Lord was unflinching. Askalita Matir Mama. He was engaged in uninterrupted attention, hearing. So the sages were engaged, he says in the next verse, they were constantly engaged in chanting the unadulterated glories of the Lord. So they were broadcasting, and his attentiveness became fixed. That's the asakti stage. So before the asakti stage, there's intermittent attention, inattention, lots of inattention, moments of attention. And this is the influence of ignorance. So he's saying when that stage came where his taste grew to attachment, then the influence of ignorance and passion were gone. As my taste developed, I could realize that I was only, excuse me, that it was only in my ignorance that I had accepted a gross and subtle covering. For both the Lord and I are transcendental. So this is really packed. Prabhupada puts it succinctly in the purport also. Ignorance of material existence is compared to darkness, and in all Vedic literature, the personality of Godhead is compared to the sun. The metaphors fit very well. wherever there is light, there can't be darkness. Next sentence. Darkness is the absence of light. Wherever there is light, there cannot be darkness. Wherever there is sun, there can't be darkness. Wherever there is absence of sun, there is darkness. So, wherever there is Krishna, there is no ignorance. When Krishna is absent, all there is ignorance. Very fitting. Just comment briefly that Brahma Gayatri, which most people are at least familiar with what it is or what the mantra is. Some people think, the demigod worshippers think, that this is a mantra for worshipping the sun. There's language in Brahma Gayatri that indicates that. He seems to indicate that. And the impersonalists, they like Brahma Gayatri too, because the light of the Brahma Jyoti, that's what they think it means. But the Vaishnavas have a clear understanding, based on the commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam. Explicitly, Vyasadeva explains it in the 12th canto, and our acharyas help us understand in case we didn't get it, that at the end, very end of the 12th canto, there's some description of worshipping the sun, but then it speaks of the sun as transcendental and eternal. But the sun that just rose this morning is not transcendental and it's not eternal. So it's some other reference to what is that sun. Anyway, the Vedic literature compare the personality of Godhead to sun as a comparison. And not sun is God, or God is the sun, or something like that. Or God is Brahman. As much as the light is the light from the sun god, the light of the Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. So, wherever there's light, there's no darkness. So, how does one get to the light? How does one get to Krishna? The next sentence. Hearing of the Lord's pastimes is itself transcendental association with the Lord, because there is no difference between the Lord and his transcendental pastimes. So last night we were discussing, sharing a pastime, Krishna's pastime in relation to the Shamantaka jewel. And not only it's a very attractive story and edifying, there's lots of lessons in that story. It's association with the personality of Godhead. And when there is that direct conscious, bringing one's consciousness to the pastimes of the Lord, one is associating with him directly. Prabhupada continues, to become associated with the Supreme Light is to dissipate all ignorance. By ignorance only, the conditioned soul wrongly thinks that both he and the Lord are products of material nature. It's like double trouble. Not only in conditioned existence, the living entity thinks that he is a product of matter, this body, or mind. God is also. Although it doesn't stand to reason that God has to be, you know, embodied. He is the anyway. It's just by inference, because we can't think beyond our own little experience. And so, you know, big scientists, what is God? God is material nature. I mean, they don't use that language, but that's the notion. What's the absolute? What is it that everything comes from? Everything comes from matter. And the laws that govern matter. Well, where does matter come from? And where the laws that govern matter come from? And who oversees those laws? There's no one overseeing those laws, and the matter doesn't come from any place. Matter is primordial. Matter is God. And the laws that govern matter are just part of matter. And that's where everything comes from. And there isn't anything else. Anyone who wants to say something else, they're just silly. They're sentimentalists. All there is matter and laws that govern matter. That's God. End of discussion. That means you're also just matter, and by the laws of matter, you're put together a certain way, and after some time, it's going to discombobulate, and you're something else, another configuration of matter. But you know, that's it. So that's ignorance. That ignorance is due to absence of light, absence of the personality of Godhead. So what's the antidote? The medicine, the cure for ignorance. Topics of the personality of Godhead. Bring in the light. Darkness is dissipated by light. In fact, the personality of Godhead and the living beings are transcendental, and they have nothing to do with material nature. When ignorance is removed, and it is perfectly realized that there is nothing existing without the personality of Godhead, then nescience is removed. So, the process of devotional service is being examined in the purport. Narada is describing subjectively what he experienced. Prabhupada is analyzing how it happened. So how does this work? Justification or the rationale behind devotional service is that everything comes from Krishna. Even ignorance comes from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. Sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishtu matak smritir gyanam apohanam cha. So even we're not these bodies, and the bodies cover the soul. When consciousness of the source of these bodies is awakened, when Krishna consciousness is awakened, we can engage the body and the mind in service to Krishna. That's the justification for it, the rationale behind devotional service. Otherwise, we should do nothing. But we don't need to do nothing. We can do something with these bodies and minds in service to Krishna, because he's the source of them. And where ignorance is removed, it works. I'm going to shut that off for just a second. I'm going to just touch on that point once again. A materialist will go in three stages. A materialist thinking the self to be a product of matter or nothing but matter, that's ignorance. The identity of the soul is lost, covered, grossly covered by ignorance. And let's go to the next stage. The impersonalist would say, well, all there is Brahman. To think otherwise is illusion. So you just break on through the other side of illusion, and you're in this zone that's all there is Brahman. So what to do with this body and the mind? Because we're not this body, we're not this mind, we're Brahman. We really don't have any justification for doing anything with the body and the mind, just do nothing. Because you do something and it's an illusion. So do nothing. Karma tyag. That sense of sannyas or renunciation. Just take sannyas and do nothing. You become God. Sounds like a bomb or something. Just give it a nice name and put some perfume on it. It's your God. But devotional service, now we're going to the personal conception, that everything, matter and spirit, come from God. Matter's real, spirit is real, the controller, both is real. And this body and the ignorance of thinking that I am this body, that's, you know, the subtle conception, once ignorance is removed, the misconception that I am this body and I exist separately from the Supreme Person, when that ignorance is removed by the process, by hearing, associating with realized souls and hearing from them, ignorance is removed, then I can engage this body, which comes from Krishna. In service to Krishna. I can gauge the mind, which comes from Krishna, in service to Krishna. And it's a very nice process, and it's very natural. We're going to hear that in just a moment. The gross body should be engaged in acts of rendering service to the Lord. Parentheses. As in bringing water, cleansing the temple, making obeisances, etc. The path of archana, or worship of the Lord in the temple, involves engaging one's gross body in the service of the Lord. Just giving examples. Then the mind. The subtle mind should be engaged in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, thinking about them, chanting his name, etc. All such activities are transcendental. That is, when we engage in Krishna consciousness or in bhakti. None of the gross or subtle senses should otherwise be engaged. That's our process. And when that process is properly followed, gradually by that process, by the influence of that process, the influences of ignorance and passion subside. That's the next verse. Text 28. During two seasons, the rainy and autumn seasons, I had the opportunity to hear these great souled sages constantly chant the unadulterated glories of Lord Hari. So the next sentence, he's going back and describing, as the flow of my devotional service began, the coverings of the modes of passion and ignorance vanished. So now here's Prabhupada saying what I said he was going to say. That is that engaging in service to Krishna it's natural. Krishna consciousness, say it the other way around, Prabhupada said this is not an artificial imposition upon the mind. What's an example of an artificial imposition upon the mind? You know, what you do in the university is an artificial imposition upon the mind. It's not something that's natural for the soul. It's something that's outside the soul. You import it and configure it to the mind, and then you become a scholar. And, you know, useful in the gross national product somewhere in this country or the world. You can do something. You're a valuable person because you can do something that's unnatural for the soul. And if all you do is what's natural for the soul, you're not very useful to the gross national product. You're not going to find a job in the job market. But it's devotional service is natural for the soul. If there's some difficulty in devotional service, it's not because of the devotional service is difficult. Because it's natural for the soul. If there's difficulty, it's because we're too much prone by habit and conditioning to that which is unnatural for the soul. But devotional service is, it's the constitutional, it's what souls do constitutionally. They engage themselves in service to the Supreme Person. One devotee, recently his wife had a baby in the hospital, and the pediatrician commented, just a kind of an in-passing thing, commented to the couple, said the human form of life is the only form of life where the living entity is so dependent, said, from any, all of the other forms of life, immediately. They don't have to have a doctor take the baby and, you know, do things. But they, immediately they go to the mother and take their milk. And it's just like, it happens, you know, little kittens or puppies or, and giving the example of a lizard, you know, immediately, as soon as they're out of that lizard egg, they're catching flies. And but a human baby is completely dependent. Completely dependent. So in that, you know, advanced state of consciousness where we're completely dependent, how the training and the, in particular, the sound vibration, but also, you know, the quality that exists within the home determines how the, you know, the consciousness of that soul is shaped, that dependent living being. So, and with the proper opportunity, the original consciousness of the soul is naturally revived. Service to Krishna. So Prabhupada writes, transcendental loving service for the Supreme Lord is the natural inclination of every living being. The instinct is dormant in everyone. But there's a problem. Seems like in this material world, that's just the case. There's always a problem. The problem in the material world is motive, ignorance, and passion. Due to association of material modes of passion and ignorance, they cover this natural inclination since time immemorial. We've been doing this for a long time. When you do something for a long time, it's really hard to do anything other than that habitual thing that you've done for a long time. Habits don't form easily, and once they form, it's hard to break them. And to form another habit, it's very hard. And it's not just this lifetime. It's lifetimes since time immemorial, covered by ignorance and passion. Gee, what am I going to do without my ignorance and passion? I'll have nothing. I'll be bereft. Let me keep a little bit at least. I mean, what if Krishna's not there? I step and there's nothing there. I just fall into this. abyss of nothingness. I better hold on to something. Ignorance and passion. Just in case. If, by the grace of the Lord and the great souled devotees of the Lord, a living being becomes fortunate enough to associate with the unadulterated devotees of the Lord and get a chance to hear the unadulterated glories of the Lord, certainly the flow of devotional service takes place, like the flow of a river. Then he explains, once the river is flowing, try to stop it. You know, put your hand out, build a dam, do something to stop it. You know, it'll eventually just go over the dam. You have to let some out so it won't flow over the dam. Or it'll flow over the dam and you get your, anyway, hydroelectric thing. So, once devotional service in its natural state is flowing, it's not stoppable by anything material. Put an obstacle in the course of devotional service. Devotional service will keep going. Can't be stopped. Like a river flowing down. And rivers flowing down, it's natural. Water goes down. Just water goes down and devotional service keeps flowing. Come, in this case, it's from the soul. It's like a spiritual principle. But ignorance and passion has blocked. So we don't serve Krishna, but we serve that which is a product of Krishna. We serve Krishna indirectly. So the point that's being emphasized in the commentary particularly is that the change, the transformation, takes place through association with when one has the right qualities to receive that association. And we heard yesterday morning those qualities that a soul must have. Otherwise, spiritual path, you can't go anywhere. The flow of devotional service is so potent that any onlooker also becomes liberated from the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance. These two qualities of nature are thus removed, and the living being is liberated, being situated in his original position. Here's that his original position language that Prabhupada uses. We're originally with Krishna. Somehow we're here, forgetting Krishna. So how'd that happen? This the fall of the jiva topic. Somehow or other, Prabhupada uses the language. Forget the Sanskrit. Somehow or other. By misuse of free will. Anyway. And in the covered condition, someone was appreciating this the other day. Illusion is so strong that not only we don't know that we're illusion, it's so strong we accept the illusion as reality. And even we hear about it and hear about it and hear about it, we just keep going on saying yes verbally, but embracing the illusion, going on in illusion, speaking reality, living illusion. It's so strong. So strong. And to break out seems like impossible. Try and try and try. We're still carrying on an illusion. So the hearing process is critical. The submission unto that sound vibration and the source of that sound vibration, ultimately the object of that sound vibration, that's our shelter. Okay. Any discussion on these verses? Yes. Everything comes from Krishna. Do you know something that doesn't come from Krishna? No. Okay. Good point. Thank you. By definition, what is Maya? By definition, Maya is that which is not. So it's how do you get, this is a little philosophical, but how do you get even the impression of that which is not, except from that which is? Like Prabhupada gives the example, the atheists argue against God, the existence of God. But here they are talking about the existence of God, which they says isn't. Where'd even the notion of God come from to say that God isn't? That which is not comes from that which is. The reflection comes from the object of the, which is reflected in the reflecting surface. Like, you know, the banyan tree, the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And one who can understand this, one who can understand illusion, or one who can understand ignorance, has access to understanding or has understood knowledge or Krishna. So what's darkness? The absence of light. What's ignorance? The absence of Krishna. What's Krishna? The Krishna is, you know, where there is no ignorance, the absence of Krishna situation. Although ignorance only comes from Krishna. The ability to forget Krishna comes from Krishna. Darkness is the absence of light. So Krishna creates a situation where it appears like darkness. He, who has created the thing, is absent, or appears to be absent in darkness. But actually, he's created that darkness. So he's present in the darkness by his potency of darkness, or the absence of recognition of him. And he can take away that darkness and present himself. Both. This Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is essential to not to avoid circular reasoning, which is a primary flaw of Mayavad philosophy. What they do is they say, well, ignorance doesn't exist. Maya doesn't exist. We're actually God. We're just covered by Maya. and we can remove that covering of Maya, and we're God. Okay, if I'm God, covered by Maya, where did Maya come from? Well, Maya doesn't exist. Circular. Okay, Maya doesn't exist. But something is preventing me from recognizing I'm God. Yeah, that's Maya. Because actually, you're God. Just have to remove Maya and you're God. Okay, where does Maya come from? Well, Maya doesn't exist. Jagat Mithya. Brahman Satya, Jagat Mithya. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So we have this Chintya Beta Beta Tattva philosophy that allows us to understand everything comes from Krishna. There is nothing but Krishna. There's nothing outside of Krishna, and Krishna is outside of everything. Okay. But that's our teaching. That's right in 9th chapter Bhagavad Gita. For one that does not have Lord Chaitanya's association, it's like you've heard this word koan before? The Zen koan? Zen, they're like statements that are, it's like a riddle. And you're supposed to figure it out. But you can't figure it out by the mind, because the mind is binary. You have to go beyond the mind to enlightenment, and then you can, through Zen koans, you can become enlightened. Like, what's the sound of one hand clapping? Takes two hands to clap, right? So then you can have a sound. But if it's just one hand, there's no sound. What's the sound of one hand clapping? So that's one Zen koan. And there's nothing outside of Krishna, and Krishna is outside of everything. Anyway, it's the Chinta Beta Beta Tattva philosophy. Both statements are valid. Absence of Krishna is darkness, but Krishna creates darkness. Anything else? Yes? Uh-oh.
I think you addressed it directly in the class.
Okay.
Civilization can be concentrated on engaging in service to Krishna and natural service.
Yeah.
So, the God delusion advocates, they say that...
Who says?
The God delusion advocates.
Okay. You're reading too much. Okay.
They say that people waste a lot of time looking for answers for God. But, you know, by using that psychological device, they need to have community and perhaps better economic development and so forth.
And morality, you know, people get along better, more social stability. It's useful, although it's illusion. Go ahead.
So I'm trying to help you with the perception.
Well, how to remove the misconception? You hear the strong message of transcendence, and it removes misconceptions. But you can also look at, the misconception and see it for what it is. Yes, it's practical for social purposes. It helps people to live together more peacefully. It gives them a sense of purpose. It's the basic argument that says, step back, and this is for weak-minded people. They can't deal with reality. So you give them, what's that medication? Huh? Okay, well, besides that, you give them, when somebody has, they're mentally disturbed. Anyway, there's some medication. Forget what it is. Anyway, it's just that it helps them function. That's okay. We can look at it that way. But, it does help people be productive. It does help people give them a purpose, and it does all those things. It's not false that it does all those things. But just now go back to the consideration. Is that real or not? Or is it, the statement we just read is, it's just natural. That is the natural state. This dog-eat-dog society is not a natural state. It's the consequence of turning our attention away from Krishna. So there's a natural order of harmony within living entities so that they don't crash and, destroy one another. There's a natural arrangement. Because it provides all those benefits doesn't mean, it's okay because, it helps people function better, even though it's not, there's no value in it. There's no truth in it. One doesn't discount the other, is my point. Someone was showing me some study when they put rats together in a very tight, confined space, what happens? And they start to become really vicious and attack each other and so on. They leave them their own space, and they don't do the same, have the same behaviors. So, looking at rats and say, this is, one is more natural than the other. So same, how people conduct themselves socially and economically and interpersonally when they have a God conception, it works better. It's not a statement of, whether it's true or not true. It's just it works better. There is a natural arrangement. Now, what about, consciousness? Let's get down to the real business. Are we conscious beings or not? And in that state of consciousness, is it natural to be God conscious or not? Anything else? Okay. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada.